Good morning, Sklebic tribe. Good morning, Borglon traders. Good morning to diners and waiters. Good morning to bar maidens and old-timey seaflow hookers. It's Saturday morning. It's Saturday morning. It's Saturday morning, 8:31 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula, not far from Splunkton Town, not far from that terrible seafaring accident where all those people drowned so many years ago, not far from the Salish Sea, where old spirits guard, waiting for Poseidon to rise to the surface, not far. But not that close either. It is Saturday, 8:31 a.m., if you can believe it. October the 12th, 2024, if you can believe it. And we've arrived, and I gotta tell you right now that my best advice is you need to growl like a tiger. You get up in the morning, you say, good morning, what's your problem? If somebody says something weird, you say, good morning, I love you, fuck you, what's your problem? If somebody looks at you weird as you're walking to the store to get your newspapers, you only read the comics. Maybe you do the crossword, maybe you do Sudoku, but you don't read the headlines because they kill you inside. They kill you inside, yeah. I don't know. Been a lot of talk about Seaflow recently. People have been asking me, how can I start a Seaflow franchise? It's like, I want to get involved in Seaflow. I want to sell power energy drinks enabled by, transformed by the intrinsic life-giving systems of the spider egg gel. It takes a long time to collect spider egg gel. It can take many, many months to collect enough. It's very expensive. It's very dangerous, but it's life-enhancing, and it'll make you growl like a tiger. And your woman will appreciate it. Your powerful tiger pirate lady. You guys will be out cruising on your pirate ship. And you'll say, hey, baby, I've never felt this way before. Oh, yeah. And she'll ask you, did you take the blue pill? No, baby. I've been drinking Seaflow, powered by spider eggs. Thank you. If you want to start a Seaflow franchise, if you want to open up your own Seaflow style franchise, selling Seaflow in cartons to your friends and then selling them franchises, because if you build franchises underneath yourself, that money flows up. It flows up by percentages. You build a franchise, and then the people that build a franchise build a franchise. And pretty soon, everyone's drinking Seaflow spider egg juice and living that kind of Seaflow lifestyle where you growl like a tiger. You know what I mean. But if you want to start a Seaflow spider egg style super energy juice protein business, you have to bring me 23 dead hippos. I won't settle for any other type of road apple. They have to be dead hippos. I don't care if they die of natural causes. If you go and kill the hippo, they will call you a criminal. But if you want a Seaflow franchise, you're going to bring me 23 dead hippos. And if you say, well, G-Man, what will happen to all the hippos? Well, you can go ask the Amish, because they'll tell you, hippos are plentiful, bro. You don't have to be a giant piece of crap. You don't have to live in fear of your own incompetence. You can energize your Wooptian powers. You can run for hours. You can bring your girlfriend flowers. If you're willing to just do the Seaflow, you can ride a tiger shark. You can fly with the eagle. You can commune with the crow if you eat your Seaflow. Yes, women will seek you out. If you start your Seaflow regimen today, Mr. Man, you'll go to the bar tonight and you'll give off an odor. And the young women will seek you out for whatever special flavors might be at hand. So if you start your Seaflow, Dapper Dan, you might end up making yourself a love time scheme, a special dream, a midnight bleem. Seaflow. Only 23 dead hippos away. Here's an article from Zero Hedge. Headline, John Stewart claims Americans don't need guns to protect their constitutional rights. This was written by the nom de plume Tyler Durden and written today. Early in the morning, New York City time, I read on. Donald Trump's recent return to Butler, Pennsylvania, where he was nearly assassinated by a McPoyle due to Secret Service incompetence or deliberate failure. Huh, those are the only two options, right, Zero Hedge? Has got the political left all worked up, perhaps in part because Thomas Crooks failed to complete his task despite being given every conceivable opportunity. Well, that's an exaggeration, Zero Hedge, to succeed, because I can conceive of better ways to do what they failed to do. But also because Elon Musk was there to support the rally. Oh yeah, magical Elon. Nothing Musk said was particularly shocking to normal Americans, but his comments on the necessity of the Second Amendment as a means to keep the First Amendment have outraged Democrats. Both of those amendments are trash. If they had the resources, they'd prove it, but they don't. I read on. Coastal progressives, in particular, have sought to disarm the rest of the nation for decades. Yeah, they're not really. That never worked. It's just more like a... Every time they threaten to take guns, it's a sales campaign for guns. Gun control and ultimately gun confiscation are foundational policies that their movement revolves around, just like going back to the moon. It's going to take a few decades. The question is why? Why are they so desperate to violate the Bill of Rights and take firearms away? I don't know. Why are you being suckered by their fearful trauma monkey bullshit, Zero Hedge? Tyler Durden. That's fucking ironic. What a fucking pussy. They certainly don't care about people's safety. Oh boy, the safety word. Well, we know we're on a commie website when that word gets used. If they did, they wouldn't have cheered on the baseless and violent BLM and Antifa riots. Blah, blah, blah. I'm just going to read the headlines. It's too stupid to read. John Stewart basically came out and said, blah, 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 that, you know, we don't need any type of Second Amendment, blah, blah, blah. This is such a fucking stupid article. I can't believe I read much of it. I don't care what you think about the McPoyle plot. That's your fucking business at this point. There are too many real things that rational people, especially ones that aren't single over 50 and don't give a fuck like me, but let's pretend you're a parent, have kids, and you're a reasonably logical human being. There are actual things you should be concerned about. The government, the U.S. government coming to your door and taking your guns is not one of them. Now, I know all the stories. I know all the stories of famous 3D gun printer heroes where the feds come at 4 a.m. But folks, I don't really know if any of those stories are true. I just know a shit ton of people that have a shit ton of guns and no one has ever knocked on their door to take them. Sorry. And if you're going to tell me, well, they're going to do it slowly, how many fucking decades will they need? How many centuries? If you ask me, the NRA and MAGA has done more for gun control than anybody else. They go to Cabela's, they buy ammo, they buy guns, and then they take them home and sit on them like they're some type of fucking chicken hen. They buy their, oh yeah, we go out, you go out shooting once a week, you've got a fine target group, but then you take your guns back home and you sit on them like a motherfucking hen. And I'm not telling you should do anything with them, but stop fucking bitching about how Europeans don't have any guns to do any kind of shit. If you actually gave a fuck, Mr. and Mrs. Bill of Rights, you would have stood up to this shit decades ago. Your grandparents would have stood up to this shit decades ago. And I was going to mock John Stewart, and I still am, because this idea that we don't need guns to protect our freedom, well, it's funny, but it seems like overseas, when it's the military-industrial complex using guns and bombs and missiles and lasers, that these are magical freedom-bringing weapons. Here at home, they don't help. Here at home, it's just, you know what? Philadelphia, 1985, the police department drops a shit ton on your roof, right? They're magical freedom-bringing guns when they're used by the state of Israel. They're magical freedom-bringing guns when they're used by Nazis in the Ukraine. But if an American uses these guns here to protect themselves, well, all of a sudden, they're fearful and racist. It's magical. How does that work exactly, John? That when a gun goes overseas, it's magically good, but when it's here, it's not. Well, that's because there's trained. I get it. I've heard the good cop, bad cop, good soldier, bad soldier story my whole fucking life. And guess what? It's a lie. There are plenty of bad cops. There are plenty of bad people in the military. And then there are the good people who mostly, quote unquote, good people, mostly just stand by and watch the shit happen. So tell me again about this famous dichotomy between the fucking good cops and the fucking bad cops. I'd love to know it. The good teachers, the good soldiers and the bad soldiers. Tell me. And then, super genius motherfucker out there in Megaland and Zyle realm, tell me what it means to drop nearly 100,000 tons of conventional explosives on 141 square miles in about a fucking year. Tell me what the fuck. I don't even care if you think Hitler's living there. What the fuck is that? If you actually are an evil piece of shit, pretend for a moment you're the worst SS general working for Hitler. Everybody would look at you and think you're fucking stupid. So even if you get past the fact that this is a war crime, that tens of thousands of people or more have been displaced, you know, again, a war crime, that many thousands have been killed, you know, a war crime. Get past all the moral issues. It's fucking retarded. What the state, if this story is true, what the state of Israel's been doing is retarded, and it's hard for me to see how they win with this strategy. Sorry. But damn, they're going to I get it. They're going to rebuild Gaza on a lot of dustified, depleted uranium, on a lot of toxic bullshit. I mean, they'll do it. I mean, again, I'm not saying they got scruples. They ain't got none. But folks, it looks dumb. It looks rushed. I've been calling it a rushed job for a year. I stick with it. Just like the Ukraine war looks like Verdun. It looks like World War I. None of this shit adds up. I don't know what the full picture is yet, but I can tell you, you're still being shoveled shit and most of you are swallowing it. As far as Jon Stewart goes, if a gun cannot protect your freedom here, there is nothing magical that happens when you ship it to the Ukraine that allows it to protect their freedom. There is nothing magical that happens when a soldier in the IDF uses a gun to kill a kid in Gaza. It's not magical. If it's an evil thing here, it's an evil thing there. Otherwise, we might as well just go crazy because we live in crazy world, no logic, no mathematics, no reasoning. We just play pretend about magic. And as far as the MAGA people go, the NRA people, the gun owners of America, you need to shut the fuck up about what you think you know about the Europeans. I'm not saying they're good or bad. I'm saying they're no fucking worse than you. And if you think they gave up their guns, well, they've been through this story before. They've had to bury their guns. And guess what? A lot of those motherfuckers, they went to their local gun store and bought guns and ammo and brought them home and sat on them, never believing that those guns would be taken away. So again, you know, Mr. Mega Cabela, I got a good shot group and I do videos on YouTube. What the fuck? How much squad level training do you do? Let alone platoon level, how much company level training do you do? Do you actually understand OPSEC and InfoSec? Are you a moron and you basically have all your secret conversations on your ironically named device, shithead? Oh, but I use Telegram. Good luck with that, dumbass. You see, a lot of you play pretend. It's not pretend. I'm not saying I know. I'm just certain a lot of you motherfuckers on YouTube are playing pretend. You're fakers, either on purpose, being paid for by feds, or you're fakers because you're just deluded. War's not going to be pretty anywhere if it ever happens. I don't want violence, but you know, I get sick and tired of people talking about how we have guns. Every fucking day my freedom slips away. Shut the fuck up, okay? We got magical guns, Dan, and if we buy them at Cabela's and sit on them, well, I know. It's magical. We have magical guns. Anyways, I'm going to try to do these podcasts more often, which means that they're going to be shorter. They might only be 15, 20 minutes, maybe. You never know. So a couple years ago, I was working on a project with a good friend of mine, and to protect his privacy, because I haven't heard from him in a while. If you're out there, I'll just call you Jay. I hope you're okay. The last I heard, you were somewhere in Colorado. I hope you're okay. You asked me a number of months ago if the site we were working on is still up and running, and I've had time to put effort into it. Not a lot of effort, but working on it. This friend of mine and I, back in 2022, had the crazy idea to get people involved in digital over shortwave. Now, before you come out with me with, well, there's Win whatever, and there's APRS, and there's MeshNet, understand that you can use a CB radio, like a Bearcat Uniden 980 SSB. It has to have single sideband. It needs that. But if you have a single sideband little CB radio that might only have 5 watts of power, digital modes can actually transmit further than voice. And I've decoded, and we've been able to transmit messages a great distance. Is the bandwidth really good? No. You're not going to be transmitting music. You won't be sending porn or pictures. But if you need to send a text message or any type of information that would be the equivalent of an email, what we started working with, which is a protocol called JS8, it's not ours. We didn't invent it. If you go to js8call.com, you can learn more about it. What we learned is that it was a completely functional way for folks to stay in contact. But what's as important is that it's a functional way to have a radio without needing to sit around and listen to it all day. Now, if you say to me, well, Dan, with AI, the AI translators, I get it. You can get yourself a speech translator, and it can give you the text from whatever people were saying, and it's the same thing, but it's not. It's really not. There are levels of reliability built into JS8 that wouldn't exist on voice, and frankly, JS8, like I said, will go further and consumes less of that radio bandwidth, a much narrower portion, and because of that, it doesn't conflict. Now, I'm talking about this because I've also been working with WSJTX, which JS8 is based on. I believe it's out of Princeton University, where they have all the smart people. And FT8 preceded JS8 as a digital encoding protocol for shortwave. It was a way for ham radio guys to basically exchange simple information like location, give signal reports, stuff like that. JS8, you can send like a paragraph, right? FT8, you could send maybe a couple words. But the cool thing about FT8 is a lot of the hams use it. And if you have access to a computer and you can install WSJTX on your computer, keep in mind it has limitations on Linux. I don't want to go into it, but unlike JS8, it seems to be a little bit hamstrung for certain versions of Linux. Let's just leave it there. But you can build it from scratch. So, you know, if you want to go and build it from scratch, which is always fun, it's a great way to spend half a day, you could do that. But, yeah, it's cool because they broadcast this information. WSJTX, just like JS8, keeps an archive file of all these reports in a text file that you can easily read and then dump that anywhere you want to. I took a kind of a screenshot of what the data can mean. What they send is a Maidenhead grid, but there's a Python, yeah, that's a reptile, but there's a Python library for the scripting language Python called Maidenhead, and it will translate a Maidenhead grid into a latitude and a longitude. Is it perfect? No, nothing's perfect, but it works good enough for right now. And keep in mind, when a ham sends you their Maidenhead grid, they're not sending you their precise location. They're basically sending you the location of a rectangle that's pretty big. So it's not like you're going to easily track down your ham. On the other hand, if you know their grid and you have access to certain resources like the internet, you could probably find them quite easily. Plus, there are all kinds of websites, you know, QRZ, stuff like that. And they're not all just for hams. Like some of these websites, you have to be a ham, a sad ham. You log in with your droopy, sad ham face, and you stare with your yellow teeth at your sad ham reality. No, some of these sites are easily accessible, don't even have a login, which means if you know how to screen scrape, if you know, you know. If you know how to pull down a web page using Python, parse out information, then you could easily take an FT8 output file, the call sign alone, and gather a lot of information. First name, last name, address, email, even phone numbers, you know, are out there. Now, why would you do this? I'm not saying you should, but I've been thinking a lot about this. I believe a fairly significant portion of the active ham radio world is either retired from or still connected to that middle layer of the deep state. The middle layer is the working layer. These are the, what, Jean-Paul... I'm trying to think of the guy who wrote all those spy books. But these are the folks that do the actual grunt work, but they don't really have any power. They do the terrible things that allow you to steal lithium from Peru, but they don't actually ever get to make money. They get a government check. They get a pension. They get told they were fighting for freedom using magical freedom guns that only shoot freedom overseas, but shoot badness at home unless you're shooting a terrorist, then it's all okay. Or drug dealers, or, right, you know, minorities. Magical freedom guns, anyways. A lot of these low-level apparatchiks are in the ham world. I'm not going to say it's 100%, but between either they're retired from or they're 1 or 2 degrees adjacent, which means they have a friend. Oh, but I have a friend who's ex. Yeah, I know you do, buddy. You have all kinds of friends. It's a deeply fed, infested world. You know, one of the things my friend pointed out when I was in Utah is that during the COVID, a lot of these guys on shortwave would tell all kinds of tales about lots of people they know dying and being in hospitals and bleeding out. And the only problem is I lived on Pill Hill in Seattle. And I lived near every major hospital that had an ER in Seattle. I lived a half a mile from the only level one trauma center in the Pacific Northwest, you know, in Seattle. And I never saw any of that bullshit, ever. I saw commies blocking traffic for half of 2020. I saw that shit. That was interesting. If it's really a pandemic, that's kind of funny. Especially when you have cops, Seattle bike cops, dressing up like BLM, except for you can see the Glock sticking out of their ass crack. I took some videos. You can go to the archives. I don't give a fuck. Yeah, none of it added up. But these hams would be on radio all fucking day long telling horror stories that they could never prove, that they could never legitimate. And if you say, well, Dan, it's illegal for them. No, it's not. And by the way, do you think the FCC gives a fuck? Do you think the FCC really has the resources to track down everybody? They could track down 1 or 2 people who are breaking the law, but for the most part, they're impotent. They can't do shit. They can't. Yeah. Ham guys, ham radio people, don't like people talking about JSA call on 11 meters, which is CB radio. The reason why they don't like talking about it is you don't need a license for it. And you could start operating today. And you know something? There's not a ton of people on it right now, but it starts with 1 or 2 people. I kind of think that a good strategy is get yourself a decent shortwave digital receiver you can hook up to a computer like I have right now, and that's your receive station. And that can be on all the time, and guess what? It also draws less power. And then turn on your transmitter, your CB radio, when you want to send some message in response. It's not easy to connect the CBs to the computers. If you say to me, Dan, it's 2024, I can connect my phone to my butt crack. Well, guess what? Another fun fact about shortwave radio is it seems to, for the most part, have a kind of retarded development curve with certain exceptions. I mean, the Bang Fang radios you can get from China are kind of an exception, but it's not like they easily plug and play into your computer either. You know, they don't either. So anywho, I don't want to, like, harp on sad hams all day. I have had the thought recently that I would love to do a documentary called Sad Ham, The Story of Amateur Radio, because I think there is a story there that goes way beyond just what I've described. I mean, yes, in terms of technology, if you look at CB and shortwave radios today, you would marvel at how backward they seem compared to somebody's mobile phone. And if you come back and say, well, you can't possibly make, that's bullshit. There are certain aspects of shortwave radio that will always be different from a mobile phone. For example, and this is true of your phone, so this is what they have in common, but this is also why they're different. Your mobile phone has an antenna. It's a very, very small antenna. You know why? Because it produces a wavelength that is very, very narrow. Okay, very narrow. Very small waves come out of your phone. So small, people worry about them causing damage to your body. When somebody says they're broadcasting on 11 meters, like CB, that's an 11-meter wave from start to finish. That's a complete trip around the planet. That's the top and the bottom of the sine curve. That's 11 meters. Okay, that's a big wave from start to end right there. In order to broadcast an 11-meter message, you need essentially an 11-meter antenna. Now, you can get around this by using coils, and the antennas can get smaller, but the point is, you're never going to make the equipment required to produce the shortwave signal small enough to fit in a phone. But you could make everything else more rational, which means you could compartmentalize the thing that is different from the things that pretty much should be the same, like talking into your radio, or controlling your radio, or powering your radio. These are the things that have been made so different and so weird that it would lead a person to believe that, yeah, you know, they really don't want people using a CB radio to broadcast digital. And then they'll tell you, well, according to FCC Part 97 of 98Z Alpha, you can't produce a digital signal on CB. Guys, these are the same motherfuckers, the same assholes who will tell you they're going to come and take our guns. Oh my God, take that warp speed vaccine. Papa Mega asked so. Q said you should. The same people that make fun of the Europeans. The same people. And by the way, in Europe, 11-meter JSA is very popular, huh? The same motherfuckers. You go to a mega club, you go to a sad ham club, and you'll see people bitching and moaning about how their freedoms are being taken away. You mention broadcasting JS8 on CB radio, and all of a sudden they look at you with their red dragon eyes. This sad ham, smelly, alcoholic breath bullshit. They got the smell of some type of Schmitty duck beer with a cigarette mixed in here and a little bit of whiskey for a tear. Fucking sad ham. But they could growl like a tiger. They could growl like a tiger if they wanted to. If you like this podcast, if you enjoy it, that's great. That's great. If you like this podcast, you know, listen to it. You don't owe me any money. No one ever did. I didn't start doing this whole begging for money thing until somebody recommended it a few years ago. And I don't mind doing it. And I don't mind people donating. But please listen to this, the disclaimer. Number one, I'm making enough money right now that I'm kind of funding myself. So if you think that the only way I can stay alive is from your donations, that's not true. That's number one. Number two, if I lost a big piece of equipment, I probably would have to be off the air for a bit. But that's just life. That's the way things work. Number three, before you donate to this podcast, make sure you consider and do the following. Take care of your own food, water, shelter. If you haven't taken care of your rent, what you need for food, what you need to pay your frickin' bills, if you haven't taken care of the things you need, you don't have resources to donate to some weird old dude on the internet. If you're setting aside food for yourself, 6 months worth, because you're an optimist, because you growl like a tiger. If you're setting aside food for yourself and your family, or both, hopefully both, if you have a family, because otherwise that sounds weird. If you're setting aside 6 months worth of food because you're a fucking optimist, and you have a dog or a cat, think about them too. And set aside food for them also. Before you donate to my podcast, think about them also, okay? And there are people in your life, your real community. I'm not talking about virtual people you've never met. Be careful, especially right now. Be careful of those motherfuckers. And if that includes me, guess what? That includes me. But if there are people in your life right now that are part of your community, part of your family, part of your circle that need help, help them first. I'm not saying give money to an alcoholic to go get drunk. I mean, that's why, you know, if you don't want to donate to me, right? No, I'm kidding. The point is, I'm not kidding. But I'm also saying this. Take care of the people around you first. Do that first before you donate to me. And remember, this isn't the end of the world. This is the beginning soon of Grinkin' Time. And soon the end of Boblimpdoc. I thought it would last just 5 years. We're almost there. Let's see if I'm right. But it's not the end of Boblimpdoc yet, so you can still go to a restaurant. You can still go to a movie theater and get mind-fucked by government commercials about the Navy for 20 minutes before the movie starts. You can still go to the store and take out a HELOC on a brand new steak and have a nice dinner. You can still do stuff. It's expensive. It's more expensive. It's probably going to get more expensive. But right now, it's still possible. And because it's not the end of the world, because, yeah, it's not, but things could get crazy enough where these things we take for granted go away. That's the nicest way I can put it. They're not gone yet. So before you donate to me, donate to yourself, your psychology. Don't give up hope. Everyone's going to die. Don't give up hope. I love you. Don't give up hope, good morning, and fuck you. But as everybody should know by now, if you're my age, and I think every 12-year-old when I was a kid knew, everybody dies. You're born, you live, you die. It's not hopeless, but you're not going to be here forever. So while you're here, try to be happy. It's not the end of the world. So donate to yourself first before you donate to me. But if you got so much money and gold, so much time and laser beam love, if you're out on a sailing boat in the Gulf of Mexico finding yourself a new type of hookah style living, you can donate all your gold and all your whiskey and all your hippos to me. You can donate your laser star cruiser and your submarine captains. You can donate your lesbian Sky Navy. I'll use it to take out my enemies. If you got so much to give, you can give it to me. Yeah, and there's a PayPal link, blah, blah, blah. I know Peter Thiel drinks blood, blah, blah, blah. We live on the Death Star, fuck you. If you want to donate, click on the link, do it. I can't take it by mail. Don't ask me all the ways you think I could get it. My mail gets open. Just use PayPal. It is Saturday, October the 12th, 2013. Tomorrow is the birthday of the United States Navy. Over 350 years ago, the Glogon Knights of Sector 14 waged war against the Spaniards and the French. And the United States Navy was born as a result and saved a whole bunch of money and gold. They've saved the gold. They didn't save the women, but they saved gold. And they saved oil later on. They didn't save children, but they saved the oil. They used a freedom gun to take them their oils, to take the banana, to take the sugar cane, but not so much to help the kids and the women's. Happy birthday, U.S. Navy. See you soon.